Welcome to the Stronger Marriage Podcast with Trey and Lee.
Hello, everybody. We are glad you joined us today.
Yes, we're excited about being here. It's been a couple of weeks. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how to have hard conversations with your spouse. We got a lot of good positive feedback about that. If you didn't get a chance to hear that, you may want to back up and take a listen. There's a lot of good information on old podcasts that you can find, and a lot of people go through those. Sometimes we hear people talking about, I've been listening to the ones in 2019, and we're like, wow, that's old stuff.
I would be curious to go back and listen to some of our old ones and just see if we've evolved a little bit.
Probably.
But I don't know.
Probably so.
Yeah.
Probably so. We're going to Littlefield, Texas on the 12th of November. We're excited about that one-day workshop. If you're in Lubbock, Clovis, actually Midland, Odessa, Amarillo.
Yeah, it's just really centrally located to a lot of places in Texas, New Mexico. Yeah, come join us. It won't be a fun, 2 hours out, it reaches a lot of people.
It does. Yeah. And this workshop is free. Yes. A lot of folks don't know that. Some people send us a message and they'll go, how much is your workshop? Most of them are free. We ask the host church if they'll cover expenses. Most of the time they do. And the folks in Littlefield are covering expenses. So this is a free workshop. You can't beat free.
That's right. Is there childcare?
There is not. There's okay. Not childcare. And so you got to have to come up with your own childcare
okay.
on this. And
but
so
that's okay.
That is okay. Man, for a day to improve your marriage, what a blessing that would be.
Take advantage of a free workshop if you live close, anywhere close.
Yeah, anywhere close. And sometimes people will go, hey, I wish you were closer. We're 2 hours away. Mm. And we're like, we have people drive 8 and 10 hours from states away to workshops.
Yeah. Drive to Lubbock and spend the night, make it a weekend away.
Try it. Don't be the sweet girl that I visited with one time who sent me a message and she said, when are you coming to, and I can't even remember the town. It was like Amarillo, Texas. And I said, we were there like last month. And I was a little frustrated because I thought, did our advertising not work? Did we not put it enough on Facebook? And I said, I am so sorry we were just there. Somehow or another, we missed getting the information out to you. She said, oh, I knew you were here. But she said, at the time, I really didn't feel like we needed it. But since then, things have happened where I think we do. And I kind of wanted to pull my hair out a little bit and think, oh, you want to work on your marriage when you don't need
right.
it.
Right. If you'd have come that weekend, you probably wouldn't be having these little issues that you're having now.
She said, everything was good a month ago. Right now, it's not. And so it's like, don't wait until your marriage is in crisis to improve it. Heard an interesting statistic the other day from a man who had gone to a couples retreat. It was, don't know who put it on, but come to find out, he said, I was overwhelmingly amazed at 75% to 80% of the couples at this retreat. And he said there was a lot. Said that they were in long-term marriages and happy marriages. And he said, it told me that couples who are willing to put effort into their marriage are the couples that are happy and they want to grow more. And he just said, it just spoke volumes that all the couples were there were couples who said, we've got a great marriage and we still wanted to come.
Yes.
And he said, there were very few marriages going, we struggle. Those are the marriages that needed to be there. But work on your marriage before you're having issues.
And our list of things that we want to cover today is just exactly that. Yep. It's just putting in that little bit of effort to make your marriage great so that problems won't come up. Or if they do come up, you can handle them easier.
You know what the difference between an ordinary marriage and an extraordinary marriage is?
Oh, no. You're smiling, so what's the punchline here?
It's the word extra.
Extra, yes.
Extraordinary. Yes. You put in a little extra.
Just a little extra.
Oh, what a dad joke. My kids would be going, oh, come on, Dad.
Yeah. I should have saw that one coming.
Yeah.
Should have saw it coming.
The extraordinary. But it's true. You put in a little extra. And so we're really today wanting to talk about, we get a lot of people that go, I need to kind of jumpstart my marriage. My marriage is kind of bland right now. I just need something to kind of pick things up.
So these are the little extras.
We're going to talk about little extras, 10 things, and you may not be able to do all of them, but man, if you could jump in there and do 4 or 5, some of these you may already be doing. Mm-hmm. You may be able to check all these off and go, hey, I do all these.
Yes.
Awesome. Well done.
You know, and some people come to our workshops and they say, you just validated that we're on the right track. And that's nice to be validated. You know, you come and you hear the things that we say and you're like, yes, we're doing those things. And it just validates that we're good. And, you know, even at the same time, when they say that, but we realize there's an area or two that we could be doing better on. So anyway, I got a little off track, but we're going to get back on to the extras.
The extras to make our marriage not ordinary, but extraordinary.
Yes.
Oh, I can see a theme going here.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah. So number one, throw out the first thing here of just little thing.
So be proud to be seen with your spouse.
All right. So that means be proud to be married.
Yes.
Be proud to hold hands in the mall.
Yes.
Be proud to snuggle in the corner while you're waiting at the restaurant for your table to be called.
Mm-hmm. Hold hands in public. That just says, you know, hey, you're mine and I am proud of you and I want the world to know you're mine. You know, we've talked about this. We get a little frustrated when we creep on Facebook every once in a while. You know, we're going somewhere. We need to remind ourselves who somebody is
that we should know.
And you know, we get on there, we're like, oh yeah. But we'll be like looking at their page for their spouse so that we can, you know, learn their spouse's name. And it's like, where's their spouse? I know they're married, but I can't find a picture of their spouse. Okay. That should not ever be the case. If somebody's looking at your Facebook, it should be clear and evident that you are, number one, married.
Yep.
And that you are happily married, that you are proud of your spouse. So if you don't have a picture of your spouse on your social media profile, repent and go fix that.
There you go. Yeah. Good. You're preaching now.
Yes.
Or occasionally, once a month or so, put something on there about, hey, I am blessed to be married. Or put a picture up of you and your husband or you and your wife. But be proud to be seen with your spouse. That just little extra just makes you feel good that, hey, I'm proud to be married. I am blessed. Doesn't mean your marriage is perfect. It doesn't mean your marriage doesn't have a few issues or some things you're working through. It just means you're giving it your best and you're going to work through some things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Second little extra
that
I want to talk about is to check in on one another every day. Just a little bit every day and ask, how are you? How was your day? Have a check-in time. This may be when you both get home from work. This may be sitting around the dinner table. This may be when you go to bed at night. But have a check-in time. It's so important to check in with each other.
And we do this pretty regularly. This is one of the areas that we're better at of just kind of going, you know, how was your day? How are you? And one of the things we often say, is there anything you need from me? Mm-hmm. Is there anything I can do for you?
What can I do for you?
And it's just a way to check in and go, are you okay? Are you doing okay? That should be a regular thing.
Yeah.
And we have stated before, back in the old days, when we were back in the 80s, we were kids first driving, they still had a few full service filling stations. And you could pull in and somebody would come out and they could check your oil. They would wash your windows for you. They would pump your gas. They would fill up your tank for you.
Mm-hmm.
And really, when marriage and family is done right, the home is that filling station.
Yes.
You come in at the end of the day and really everybody in the house is in charge of filling, helping to fill the other person's tank. One person isn't the guy that comes out and does all the filling. Everybody should be filling one another's tanks of going, hey, the world's been rough on you today. Come here. This is home and this is our safe place. And this is where we should be filling one another's tanks.
Yeah.
How are you? What do you need? And, you know, reminding your spouse or your kids, you are awesome and you are loved no matter what you heard today at work or school.
Yeah. And that's a good point. You know, we're talking marriage here. Check in with your spouse. But it's essential that you're checking in with your kids as well and making sure, you know, asking them, how was your day? And we know with kids, you usually have to ask more pointed questions. You know, we talk about the high, low, ask them, what was the high point of your day? What was the low point of your day? So that they'll really answer your questions and you have a, you know, quality check-in time. The dinner table is an excellent time to do this where the whole family is involved. Check-in time is important.
So make sure you're having some check-in time with your spouse. The next one, we're giving you 10. The next one on our list is be intentional about being intimate.
Mm-hmm. Now you're talking sex here.
I am talking sex here.
Okay.
But I want to say this.
Yes.
you should be intimate even on days you're not having sex.
Yes.
And that's holding hands, hugging, flirting, touching your spouse, that is sending a sweet text. Mm-hmm. You can be intimate every day.
Right.
But we're talking sexual intimacy here.
That's also, I mean, that's also praying together. We've talked about, you know, there's so many ways that you build intimacy in marriage, and that's why I wanted to clarify. Yeah.
You should be intimate every day.
Yes.
But I want to talk a little bit about sexual intimacy, mm-hmm. because, as we have talked multiple times in the past, sexual intimacy releases oxytocin. It connects you with your spouse. It reconnects you with your spouse. It's easy sometimes to get caught up in life and you're busy and you're tired and you're scheduled and you look around and it has been a long time since you have been sexually intimate with your spouse, and you're wondering why you're not connecting. You're wondering why you're frustrated with one another. You're wondering why you're not getting along. You're wondering why, you know, I love you, I just don't like you much today. And then you are sexually intimate and everything starts clicking again.
Yeah.
It is just that reconnector. It's kind of like how every now and then you have to restart your cell phone or restart your laptop, and when you do, it's kind of like, it's working again.
Yes.
When you stop and restart with some sexual intimacy, it helps you to click again. It gets things working again. It puts everything into place. You look at your spouse, and instead of saying, here is my spouse that I get frustrated with, you go, this is my man, this is my woman. And don't miss that second word in the sentence that we said. You're going to have to be intentional.
Be intentional, yes, because you said it. Busy schedules, being tired, dropping in bed exhausted every night. It's one of those things that's really easy to just keep putting off and keep putting off because of busyness and weariness. And so, yeah, you have to be intentional.
That may mean scheduling sex. We talked about this. We'll throw this out there. That doesn't mean looking at your calendar going, how about Thursday week at 7? That means you look at your spouse and you're alone in the kitchen and you go, it has been a few days or a week or however long, and I am so ready to reconnect with you. Tomorrow night, our schedule is free. Let's get our kids in bed. Does that sound all right? And it's on the calendar. Mm-hmm. You know, you've both kind of said, hey, yes, let's see if we can get this pulled off and scheduled sex without saying, let's put it on the calendar.
Right.
You just both kind of know.
Mentally.
And so, mentally. Yeah. And yeah. So that's a healthy way to do things.
It is. Yes. Communication is key there.
Yep.
So the next little extra,
mm-hmm.
say I love you every morning and every evening. This is probably something that, honestly, I'm not great at. This is one of the things you can just take for granted that you love each other. But how often are you actually saying the words?
Yeah. And I'll throw this out there. Are you saying it because you've been told first, I love you, mm-hmm. and you feel obligated to repeat it? Or are you the one instigating it? Because if you're always the one that says, oh, I love you too, maybe you need to be the one that throws it out there first occasionally.
Yes, so it might become a contest of who can say it first.
That's it. Just tell your spouse in the morning, give them a kiss and say, yeah. Good morning, babe. I love you today.
Yes.
Or I love you before bedtime.
Yes, but it is important. Everybody needs to hear the words.
I visited with a widow lady at her funeral service. I won't tell the story one time. It is in our book, 10 Ways to a Stronger Marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, 55 years of marriage, he told me every morning that he loved me. And I thought, wow.
He was putting in the extra.
He was putting in the extra. Yes. I loved it. My heart was touched
yes.
by this man that I did not know that the widow lady was telling me about.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah. So number whatever it is, number 5.
I think we're on 6.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Anyway, the next one is give each other a 7-second hug.
Oh, I skipped one. You were, yeah.
I was right.
You were right.
But I'm not going to say that out loud.
You just did.
Yeah, no. Give each other a 7-second hug as soon as you come in after work. And that, what that does is it's kind of, that actually works a little bit like the sexual intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chance to reconnect.
Right.
Instead of just a, hey, hun, welcome home, glad you're here, or a wave across the room, or a walk in the door and go, did you bring supper? Take a second. Give your spouse a hug. And 7 seconds is what one author says that you really need to kind of reconnect, mm-hmm. and it actually releases a few little oxytocins in there.
A long enough embrace will release some of that oxytocin.
That goes, yep. oh, I'm glad to be home. So give a 7-second hug. That sounds silly. And you don't look at your watch while you're hugging your spouse mm-hmm. and go, all right, that's 7, break, you know.
1,000, 2,000.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, if you're whispering something Mississippi under your breath, your spouse is going to go, what are you doing? But give each other a 7-second hug. Number 6.
Yes. Focus more on what your spouse does right than what your spouse does wrong.
That's a toughie.
It is a toughie.
Especially if you've been married for a while.
Preaching to myself, yes. Yeah, look on the bright side of things. And sometimes you have to train your brain to think that way if you're a glass half empty person. I think we've done a whole episode on this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you've got to sometimes just overlook some things. You don't have to say everything you're thinking. But try to just see the positives more than you see the negatives. And certainly don't point out all of the negatives, because that just sucks the life out of your spouse and your marriage.
We say this in our workshop all the time. Newlyweds do a really good job focusing on the awesome things that their new spouse does, and they kind of overlook the things that are getting on their nerves because they're newlyweds. As we get older, that kind of reverses, and what we find ourselves doing is we overlook what our spouse does well. And we really tend to focus on the things that really drive us nuts. And that's not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that.
Yes.
You just can't do that. So focus more on what your spouse does right than what your spouse does wrong.
Okay. Next one.
Number 6, make trust and forgiveness two things that you give freely.
Yeah. Trust and forgiveness. Don't always think that your spouse is up to something. And then, you know, if you do have some misunderstanding, some crosswords or whatever, don't hold grudges. Don't keep score in marriage. Remember, you're on the same team.
Yeah. And if you're in a marriage, we'll say this, where there has been some issues with trust, and maybe you're listening to this and you have broken trust in your marriage, forgiveness can come quick and can be restored easy. Trust is going to have to be rebuilt. It's mm-hmm. going to take some time. And you're going to have to prove yourself faithful and worthy. And you're going to have to be an open book and let your spouse know where you are and what you're doing. And look at my phone. You know, my life is an open book because I want you to know that you can trust me. And so if trust has been an issue in your marriage, then you work hard to rebuild that trust. And it won't come quickly,
mm-hmm.
but you make sure that when your spouse does give trust, that you thank them for that.
Yes.
That's an important thing. This one is really just a whole podcast in and of itself.
Rebuilding
trust.
It
because
really
there's a lot of marriages. If you're in a marriage right now that has trust on both sides, you are very, very blessed. And you protect that trust. You guard that trust. You don't let anything happen to it, because once it's gone, it's gone.
Oh, yeah. We're saying give it freely. But if you have ever broken trust, then this is a hard thing to give freely. It takes time to build back up to that. And we have done an entire episode on this.
We have.
So
you send us a message, and we'll send you the link to this.
Yes, we'll send you the link if you need to hear
more.
But,
you know, trust comes in drops when you're trying to rebuild, and you can pour it out of the bucket just all at one time. So be cautious with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So let's look at number 8. Number 8.
Be intentional about holding hands every day.
I like that.
Some kind of touch.
I'm a hand holder.
Some kind of touch.
I like holding hands.
Mm-hmm.
I can hold hands every day. I like hold hands in the car. I like hold hands in bed. I don't know if, I'm sure there's other husbands that do that, but I like holding hands. Holding hands just means, it tells me you're mine and I'm yours. It tells me that we are more than just people who live in a house together. We have a connection. There's something special about our relationship. We're not just roommates. Holding hands says, I am yours and you are mine. And kind of reminds me personally that we're doing this together.
Mm-hmm.
We're on a team together. You got my back. I got your back. And don't underestimate the power of holding hands.
Yes. Yeah, touch is important. Touch is, you know, there have been studies done on newborn babies that received touch and ones that didn't, and how, you know, the differences in how they thrived or didn't thrive. And human touch is just absolutely essential. It really is.
Doctors and nurses know they'll touch a patient that's healthy. That's good. It's amazing. If you are a Bible study person, sit down and look at how many times it specifically talks about how many times Jesus actually touched someone. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
Before he healed them.
He didn't have to touch the leper. You know, that leper, was actually like something he was not supposed to do, was to touch a leper, and he touched him.
Yeah. Because he probably needed touched as much as he needed healed.
As anything. There's no telling how long it had been since he had been touched.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow, I can't even imagine. That just kind of makes my heart all hoppy there.
Hoppy.
It
just kind of bounces around. This is another one of your words.
Yeah, I made that up.
Trey's word of the day.
Hoppy.
Okay.
My heart is hoppy.
The next extra thing you can do in your marriage is to pray together.
Oh, we hope you're doing that.
Pray together. If you're not, start. Start doing it. Less than 1% of couples that pray together every day end up in divorce. Less than 1%.
Obviously something to that stat.
Mm-hmm.
Pray together.
Mm-hmm.
Man, pray together. If you don't know how, boy, we've got a book, Wisdom for Your Marriage, that will help you learn to pray together. We've got some prayer prompts. But make it simple. It doesn't have to be a big deal.
It really doesn't. You know, before you walk out the door in the mornings, take each other's hand. See, you can two birds with one stone here. Take each other's hand. Just say, you know, God bless our day. Thank you for our marriage. Give us wisdom as we deal, you know, talk to others, whatever. It just doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out thing. It can be short and sweet. Do it before you go to bed at night. Pray with your kids. Pray as a family. But pray together.
Mm-hmm.
That is obviously a glue that will hold marriages together, according to those statistics. So, last extra.
Let's do it. I like this one. This is a pro tip, meaning every person that I have talked to that has started doing this and being intentional about that has said, wow, this is awesome. We should have been doing this a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't always, because I'm a night owl. You are a morning person. You start turning into a pumpkin around 9 o'clock.
Maybe
10? Maybe. I don't think so, but maybe we'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
Okay. It's so dark.
But yeah, and I mean, like, I'm just still getting a second wind at that time of night. And there were a lot of years that we did not go to bed at the same time. You would say, I'm tired, and I'd be like in the middle of something, and you'd be asleep when I got to bed. Mm-hmm. But now, I mean, really the last, I don't know how many years we have been, but there have been times that I've gone to bed with you. And then, you know, if I'm not tired after you go to sleep in 30 seconds, I may read. I may actually get up out of bed and do whatever, another load of laundry or, you know, just whatever. But yeah,
so
going to bed together.
Why is going to bed together so important?
So going to bed together is important for tons of reasons, actually. We've talked about, you know, doing a check-in every day. This
right.
is a great time to do that.
That's when we do ours.
That is when we do ours. This is a great time to read your Bible for a minute together, if that's something that you want to do, which would be very healthy for your marriage. It's a great time to pray together.
Mm-hmm.
Have a quick prayer together before you go to sleep. It's a really great time to, you know, be sexually intimate.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not going to bed together, then that just makes that even tougher.
A little tougher.
Yeah. So
so many good things
that
so you can
many
do
things,
together. Snuggle for a little while.
Yeah,
give each other a massage.
Touch.
You know, any of those things. But going to bed together at the same time is really a good thing. And I know that's tough. Some couples go, well, he works a night shift and I'm working
yeah.
a morning shift.
We
so
understand.
That may be impossible.
We understand it's impossible in some situations.
But sometimes it just means you've got to put a little extra effort into it
mm-hmm.
and make that work. So
yes.
I think that's a healthy thing.
So
want to jumpstart your marriage? Want to put a little spark back in your marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Want to put a little extra into your marriage so that it's not ordinary, but extraordinary. Mm-hmm. I like how I did that.
Extraordinary.
Again.
Yes.
There's your 10 things right there.
You're going to be proud to be seen with your spouse.
Check in with one another every day.
You're going to be intentional about being intimate.
Say I love you every morning, every evening.
You're going to give a hug every day. Every day after work or whenever it's first, when you first see each other.
I'm going to focus on what my spouse does right more than what my spouse does wrong.
I'm going to make trust and forgiveness two things that I give freely.
I'm going to be intentional about holding hands or touching every day.
We're going to start praying together or yes. continue praying together.
Yes, and we're going to strive to go to bed together at the same time. Mm-hmm. And maybe that'll start with, if maybe that's a new thing and it's like, let's just see if we can pull this off two times a week or three times a week. And try to make that into a habit.
Yeah. We'd love for you to go through this list. If you're doing these, put a check by them. If you're not, circle it and say, okay, this is what we're going to focus on. These little extras that we can put in.
There you go.
Yes.
Y'all have a blessed week. We're going to be back in a couple of weeks. We'll do it again. We're going to come back with some family material.
We think we're going to finish out the year talking about some family stuff. This is, you know, we're coming up on Thanksgiving, Christmas, holidays, mm-hmm. when everybody's really thinking about family and being together with family. And so we thought it'd be a great time to do about 3 episodes on family.
Yep. There you go. Y'all have a great week.
See you
Thanks
next
for listening.
Bye.